Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Your host, Taylor Schroll. It is great to be in today. We are recording this segment early because currently, as you listen to this on the podcast or on the radio, whether you're here locally in Red Sea Radio in Central Texas or St. Michael Radio in Tulsa or Cairo Radio over in the Carolinas, no matter when you're listening to this, I am currently in Detroit leading worship for a mission trip up with Young Neighbors in Action. So we are recording a lot of content a couple days back to back, having a lot of fun here in the studio, and we've got another great show planned for you here today. In this first segment, I'm going to be talking about last week's gospel, which I just found hilarious. And I had to read it multiple times because I was forced to. I'll tell you that story. And then the second segment, Sam, you're here today. Have you ever seen the movie The Little Rascals?
Yes.
What do you think of that movie over there?
I love that movie. I don't think I've met anybody who doesn't love that movie, though.
I haven't either. I think it's a childhood classic.
It has to be.
Do you remember Porky?
Porky?
Porky from Little Rascals.
Yes.
Oh, Tay.
Porky.
So I loved that because my name's Taylor. I went by Tay or Tay-Tay when I was a kid. Call me that now, and I'll, I can't say murder you on the radio. What do I say?
You don't call you Tay?
I will punch you in the face. You have to be very close to me.
Okay.
You have to be very close to me so that I could punch you physically close to me.
That makes sense.
So I loved that. It was like, oh, me, right? It's essentially what it was. Well, Porky is now a very practicing Catholic, active on Catholic Twitter, and he is today's guest. I can't believe.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I can't believe that I'm going to be interviewing Porky from The Little Rascals, a movie that I've probably watched 48 times in my long life. So he has a Catholic podcast called The Roman Circus, and we're going to talk to him about his faith, about his story, and then because he's Porky from the Little Rascals, I was like, you know what? I really want to play a game against the guy who played Porky in the Little Rascals. So we're going to play a couple games in the final segment. So if you don't like the Little Rascals, you're a crazy person, and I don't want you to be a fan of this show. So you can tune out now. If you are a fan of the show because you are a good, practicing, loving Catholic, you're going to like today's show. But we do have to wait. Good things come to those who wait. And today, that good thing is Zachary Mabry. We're very excited to have him on the show today. But for now, you're stuck with me, and I'm stuck with Sam. So we're going to talk a little bit about this last weekend's gospel. So I have to tell you the story about how I, the first few times that I read this gospel last week. Sam, you've heard of this thing called reconciliation, correct?
Yes.
What's the last thing you said in confession? I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. So I went to confession, and I was in the confessional line here at St. Mary's Catholic Center for Texas A&M University. and the students aren't here, which makes the line bearable to go to confession, because there are so many holy people here, and that's a problem for me, because then I have to wait, and it just, I'm very happy for them, I'm glad they're growing in their faith, but it just negatively affects my life. So I like it in the summer, whenever I get to go to the confession line, there's only like, you know, 10 to 14 people. So this week, I went. And how it works is that we're in the Adoration Chapel, and there are the two confessionals right off of the Adoration Chapel. And I'm sitting there, I'm like 14th in line. Sam, if you're 14th in line, how much longer do you think I would have waited?
How much longer would you have waited unless you were like first in line or like...
How long do you think before I get into my confession when I'm 14th in line?
Was there two priests?
Two priests.
Let's say 40 minutes?
I was thinking somewhere around there. 40 would probably be pretty normal, maybe 30. And at the rate it was going, like I had been in there. I was like the third to last person. I had been in there and not seen anybody come out of confession and go in. So the timing wasn't looking very good.
Uh-oh.
But I was saved.
By Jesus Christ, he flew in to see you.
That was in a few minutes whenever I met him in the confessional. I was saved in this instance by this very tall, I'm guessing visiting some kind of Eastern European priest.
Okay.
He walks in the door and I turn around because, of course, I'm distracted while praying. And I turn around and I see him and he is... It's a very tall door. He's towering inside this door, filling up the entire doorway. And he says, oh, hello, like whispering. Because we're in adoration. And like, it's this odd thing. He's like, I have information to share with you, but you're in adoration of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of the entire world. But I have information for you that I think you would like to hear. He says, okay, well, Father Brian said that he would like me to help with confessions. I am going to go upstairs in the balcony, and if you want to come, I think it will make the line go faster. Okay, goodbye. And then he leaves. So me being like the 13th, 14th, something like that in line, like far back in line, I assume that a lot of people in front of me would go. Like you'd think that'd be the courteous thing to do. Like I know that is the right thing to do, right, Sam?
Yes.
It would be courteous to let people go.
That would be the nice thing.
So I'm about to go to confession, which now that I think about it, I should have just popped up and went first because then I could confess that I've cut in front of line and then it would just have been over in about 4 minutes.
It's true.
But I didn't do that because I didn't want to abuse the sacrament. So, and take advantage of the Lord's mercy or these other people in line. I do have some kind of holiness within my soul. So I waited for a good 10 to 15 seconds. That was my limit. I turned around. Nobody had moved. So I do the whole like me standing up and I'm a large man. It takes a few moments for me to get up from a sitting position. And right as I sit up, this guy who's third in line like pops up. And then we have this awkward thing. Like we both get to the door at the same time. And he's like, you go. I think he was just more scared of me because I was twice his size. I was like, no, like you were in front of me. You go first. So we go, as I'm walking out, Brian, who works with us, who was on last week's episode, runs into me and he's about to walk into the confessional. And I had this moment, Sam, where I was like, do I say anything or do I just make him wait 40 minutes to go to confession? I was like, Brian, come with me. He's like, what? Why? I was like, just come with me. There's a shorter line over here. I have a secret path for you. I have a mission for you, a side quest. So we go up into the top of the, we go into the church and me and Brian are down in like the foyer, waiting room of the church. The guy who's in
the
front of
the waiting room of the church.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sick and I need to go see the doctor. This is the angelic, the healing doctor, healing of my soul.
I see what you did.
So the kid goes upstairs. He says all his sins and then, you know, his confession's over. He walks downstairs. I go upstairs, and my show is called Forte Catholic because I'm loud. I'm the loud Catholic, right? So I go into confession, and we're in this empty church. And I don't know if you've ever been in an empty church before, but you can whisper, and you can, hello, low, low, low. Like somehow it like gets louder. I don't understand how the science of that works. But maybe it's not real, but that's how it seems to happen. So I'm saying my sins and I'm whispering. I'm trying to be the quiet Catholic and be like, you know, I killed a guy the other day and I'm sorry that I killed this guy. And then the priest is like, yes, you killed a guy. And I'm like, shh, like people can hear you, right? And like, obviously, I didn't kill a guy. If you're just listening to the show and don't know that I'm being sarcastic, I apologize. So I'm saying my sins and he's like, you know, giving me sound advice, but I'm stressed the entire time because I'm like, Brian's downstairs. Our friend Loretta is downstairs. This other person that I don't know is downstairs and they can hear not what I'm saying, but it's like hearing part of the phone conversation. You know, like mm-hmm. Sam, if you're on the phone,
right?
I don't know the conversation you're having, but I know what type of conversation you're having.
It's true.
And if I start hearing you say things like, where do we hide the body? I can infer what you're talking about.
It's true.
So I go down, we finish the absolution and where the reading comes in. Also, I forgot a very key part of this. Sam, I had a first in confession, a first time for me.
What's that?
I've had some crazy confessions. I've shared about them on the air. This is a first for me. Confession was upstairs, it's about two flights of stairs. I did confession winded the entire time. I was like, I killed a guy. I took the Lord's name in vain. I was like winded the entire time. So anyway, that's a side comment, but I thought it was funny. So it was worth it. I got out of line, but I had to be winded. It was a fair trade-off. So after my confession, he gives me the penance to go read the gospel for last weekend, which then was the following weekend. I know the timeline's very confusing. It's like an episode of The Flash. But gave me this. He's like, read it three times and see if the Holy Spirit shares anything with you. So I go to my pew and I sit down next to our friend Loretta, who is praying in the chapel. And she's kneeling and I sit down next to her and she looks at me and she goes, what? Like, what do you mean what? I'm just here to pray.
It might have been because you were like winded again and you were just like sitting there.
What's wrong with you?
And
you're out of shape.
She's trying to pray and all she hears is, I probably would say what to you.
So she says what? And I'm like, nothing. I'm just here to do my penance. She goes, okay. And then both of us are quiet. Meanwhile, Brian is in confession. We can essentially, Brian doesn't, he's trying to be quiet as well, but it's a quiet church. So essentially we could hear what he's saying slash what the priest is saying. So I'm like, Loretta, we have to stop praying. We have to start talking to each other. Otherwise we're both going to know what Brian did. So that's what we did. We had this conversation. Brian finished his confession and then I did my penance and I started reading this gospel reading. So again, I have to remind you that I prayed. I did what I was told. I prayed that the Holy Spirit would reveal a special word that stuck out or a phrase that stuck out. And here's what I got. So just to kind of catch you up in case you skipped Mass last Sunday, you sinner, or you forgot like 97% of us what last weekend's gospel was by the time you left lunch after Mass. Here's what it says. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. They came to the eighth day. They're going to call him Zechariah after his father. So they're going to name him Zechariah Jr. But his mother said in reply, no, he will be called John. The first thing I noticed was that other people were trying to name this baby. Like, that's an odd thing. I think that's a very odd thing. Like, don't just life lesson of the day. Don't walk up to people and be like, hey, you're naming your baby this. Like, no, I'm naming him John. But they had the audacity to answer her saying, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. So they made signs asking his father what he wished him to be called. I don't know if this means sign language. I don't know if this means they made like stop signs or if I don't know what they were doing.
I thought they would have like written it out. Maybe
I like the sign language thing better. Like they were signing to him. They're like, we don't, there's American sign language hasn't been invented yet. Cause what is America? But we're trying to, you, John, you're Zechariah, baby Zechariah, like trying to mouth it to him. So he asked for a tab.
Wait, he can hear. He just can't talk. Sorry, that was just really funny. Anyway.
So yeah, that I didn't even think of that. Why are they making signs?
Why are they making signs? He can hear.
That's a great question, Sam.
You told me I could just say whatever I wanted. Here you go. There's a question for you.
That is a really good question. They made signs asking his father.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I'm very confused.
If you know, let us know, because we don't know. Okay, keep going.
Okay, we're scriptural scholars over here. So he asked, Zechariah asked for a tablet and wrote, John is his name. And all were amazed. Now, here's my first thought. I have to remind you, I asked the Holy Spirit to enlighten me. Here's what I thought. Were they all amazed because he agreed with his wife? Were they all amazed that he wanted to name his son John? Were they all amazed that he could write? Like, I know reading and writing was a hard skill back then. What were they amazed by? Were they amazed by his penmanship? His cursive? I don't know what they were surprised by, but anyway, they were amazed. Immediately his mouth opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke blessing God. So here's the real, that was the first thing that hit me. The second thing is, so it wasn't really anything holy he did that broke this curse, where he was cursed to, essentially, if you don't know the story, he doubted when the angel said, your wife's going to have a son because she had been barren for so long. And so the angel got frustrated with him and made him mute, which I think is hilarious. So he finally, I think the real lesson in this was he needed to agree with his wife. Because all he did was agree with his wife, and then he could speak again.
I mean, I think most women would say that they liked that. Like, yeah, that's honoring God. Doing and saying what I say.
So here's my question for you, Sam. I'm not a wife. You may be one day.
Okay.
I never will be. So I don't know. You are more qualified to answer this question.
It's true.
Do you think she was more happy when he could speak again? Or more happy? It's like, oh, dang it. He could talk again.
Well, I mean, right now he's agreeing. So it's like, we're good right now.
We're good right now.
Yeah.
Later, she'll just use sign language when she knows he can hear.
There it is.
So then fear came upon all their neighbors because he could talk again. Again, if I couldn't talk for forever and then I was just, I had 9 months bottled up where I could talk again, I think all of my friends and relatives would run in fear as well. It's like, oh no, he has a microphone again. He's going to unleash on us.
It'd be like double forte Catholic.
Fortissimo. Fortissimo Catholico. Okay. So they discussed the matters all over Judea. And then they were surprised. Like, what will this child be? So those were the first things that stuck out to me. Read it 3 times for my penance and just laughed the whole time. I was like, thanks, Jesus, for revealing how silly all of this is and maybe the lesson that I should listen to my wife more. But the thing that really stuck out to me after all this, I read it 3 times for my penance. I read it once for my Bible study, my men's Bible study, where we study the next weekend's gospel on Wednesdays. And then I heard it again in Mass. And what really stuck out to me the whole time was that this guy was mute for months and months. And the first thing he does when he has his voice is he blesses God. And I thought about how different that would be than my reaction. My first thing I'd see, like, what the heck, God? You sent this angel? And did you even give your angel permission to make me mute? Was it your idea to make me mute? Why was I mute? Those would be the first things that I would say. But he, like the great man that he is, blesses God with that. And like, that's something that I want to strive for. So when things are going bad for you, are you more like me? Or are you more like this great biblical character? And I know all of you want to be like me, but don't be like me in this scenario. We'll be right back with Porky from the Little Rascals, Mr. Zachary Mabry himself.
Interrupt this broadcast to bring you a message from Definitely Not Taylor. If you are listening to this show, you should totally rate it and subscribe to it on iTunes. To rate it, go to the iTunes Podcasts app on your phone, search for Tay Catholic, scroll down to Review, give 5 stars, write that you like the show, and then move on with your day. Enjoy the rest of the show.
to Forte Catholic. This is your host, Taylor Schroll. We mentioned it at the top of the show. We have a very exciting guest for you here today. I was talking to him before we went on the air here just a couple minutes ago about some of the previous guests that we have had on. You know, we've had a multiple-time Olympic gold medalist. We had an Academy Award-winning director. And this guy is the kind of guest that is absolutely going to rival the likes of those people. So we mentioned in the first segment that this is a man who was a child actor in arguably the greatest children's movie of all time, definitely of our generation, Little Rascals. The man who played Porky and self-proclaimed on this man's Twitter, the guy who is featured in the cutest GIF of all time, Mr. Zach Mabry. Zach, how you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. Thanks for coming. So I was researching you, as I do most of my guests. Not many of my guests have their own IMDb page. So I saw, obviously, that you were, you know, Porky and the Little Rascals. I knew that because I follow you on Twitter, and we've been, you know, the whole Catholic Twitter circle runs deep, but we're all, you know, pretty close. I saw something that made me very sad. Are you ready for this?
Tell me.
I am 3 months older than you. And you accomplished more in your life by age 4 than I have in all 28 of my years in playing Porky. Like, how does that make you feel that you accomplished more in 4 years than I have in my life?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess I'm pretty proud of my 4-year-old self for pulling that off. I will say that 4-year-old me has outdone 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 27-year-old, 28-year-old me, each time. So we're maybe even, if you want to think of it that way.
That's very kind of you, but you're wrong, sir. We're not even, but it does, you're right. It does make me feel better that, that we're in similar cases now. So
yeah, like we're both probably equally, mediocre this year. Like we're probably neck and neck.
Amen. That is just a ringing endorsement for the two of us. So I can remember being a small child and watching the Little Rascals. And I looked up at her and I said, Mom, one day I'm going to interview that kid on my Catholic radio show. And here we are. I did it. A dream come true.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations. This was pretty much my goal from that age too. So I didn't know that I'd make it on the Catholic Forte show. I was thinking maybe the, you know, mezzo piano or something, but made it on to the Forte. So
he gets it. He gets it. Are you a musician as well?
In the car.
Oh, there you go.
I am. And I recently sang in the choir for a mass for the first time ever. So, you know,
well, I'm sorry you had that experience.
I'm sorry for everybody there except for me, and especially the choir director who would like look at me and like point at me like, you need to get the note. So
yeah, I was a music director, and I had to deal with people like you all the time.
So, I mean, I was trying, and I could tell when I'd be off and I would quiet, I just kind of stop. But there were only two basses, and so I felt kind of bad, you know.
Wait, you're a bass? Anyway. That's so crazy to me that the little kid who played in The Little Rascals is now a bass.
I mean, I could probably sing tenor if need be, but then, you know, like, it's harder, and we were singing polyphony, and I had never done that before. So I was like, I feel like bass would be easier because it's, you know, quieter. I don't know.
Yeah. I always think of Inception whenever basses sing. So how does a kid that grew up in Texas and Oklahoma, how do you get into one of the most classic movies of our generation? How did that happen?
It's interesting story. So when I was a kid, I was very, I guess, energetic. I would just talk constantly and barely stop, breathe. I was just always kind of going, very obnoxious. And my grandmother saw on television that they were doing an open casting call in Dallas for Little Rascals. So we, at the time, lived just outside of Tulsa in Oklahoma. And so shout out to Broken Arrow.
They're listening to this show right now. The show airs in Broken Arrow in Tulsa.
Oh, good. Well, hello, everybody. I lived next to the Quick Trip. So the she saw on the news they were doing this tryout in Dallas. And so since I had been born in Plano, my parents lived in Dallas when they were first married. They thought it'd be fun to go down, you know, see some friends, make a week, you know, make a trip of it, and just have me try out for this movie for fun so that, you know, when I was older, they could be like, hey, one time you tried out for a movie. So we made the trip down. I went in, did the tryout. My parents said I came out and they were like, what, how was it? And I said, fine. What'd you do? I don't know. And I had no information for them about what went on or how it went or anything. And then ended up getting the call to come back and, you know, landed the part. It wasn't their plan that happened. So it was kind of crazy because my mom had just given birth to my younger brother. So, you know, he was still a baby for all this and, you know, dragging him around. So, yeah.
What did your brother accomplish by age four? What did he do?
By age four? Well, he survived being my brother. And that maybe doesn't sound like it's that hard, but you can ask him and he'll tell you. And he's much more creative than I am. So actually he had invented a lot of things by age four, that were very clever things, especially for someone that age. He was always very smart.
So your IMBD tells me that Little Rascals mm-hmm. is the only movie that you ever did. So what went into that decision? Because you were, yeah, I mean, it's a very successful movie and you did great in it. So what was that decision? Like, oh, that was fun or I hated it. Like, what was the whole decision process for that?
Yeah, so we liked it. We had fun doing The Little Rascals. We loved all the other, you know, families that we met. And I did continue to try out for other parts. My parents had a rule, which was that I could be in a movie only if it was appropriate for me to watch all the way through start to finish at that age that I was.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, once I was five, if it was a movie that a five-year-old could watch all the way through, then that was fine. But if it wasn't, then, you know, I couldn't act in it. And so that really narrows playing field because a lot of times there'll be children in movies that are PG-13 or R. And, you know, those weren't really on the table. And I'm glad my parents had that rule. But I mean, obviously it's kind of limited. So we had to turn away a couple parts while we kept looking for one that would be a match.
Well, cool. So the next thing that I have to ask you about, and it kind of plays right mm-hmm. into what you just said, okay. is your story of faith. Because like that sounds like a great choice that your parents made. Were y'all a family of faith at that time?
Oh, yes, always. So I grew up Protestant. My parents have always been, you know, very serious about their faith, very devout. I mean, all the way through my senior year in high school, we would have, you know, dinner at the table as a family. We always prayed before our meals. You know, we went to services every Sunday, you know, in our church clothes. And, you know, my mom was also a youth minister as well. So because we were United Methodist. And so, you know, that's what she did throughout my from about when I was in the sixth grade until after I graduated. So yeah, no, God was always a big part of our home and, you know, we were always taught to pray and everything.
That's really exciting. And I didn't know, until you and I started talking before the interview, because I know now that you're Catholic. I know that because you're a big member of Catholic Twitter. You have your own Catholic podcast called the Roman Circus Podcast. I just started listening a couple of days ago, and I'm already a few episodes in. People need to go check it out. You are a convert to Catholicism because people heard that you were United Methodist growing up. So what happened? Your family was so ingrained in the United Methodist Church. What went into your conversion?
The story is a lot cooler than I deserve, I will admit. I had always been like intrigued by Catholicism because it seemed very mysterious and old, and there seemed to be all these, you know, rituals and rules. And so it kind of had that intrigue there, but maybe just from an observer standpoint, not thinking, oh, I want to be part of this or I want to convert. But, you know, I would continue to learn about it. In my junior year in college, my roommate was Catholic and he would invite me to Mass on occasion on Sundays and I'd go with him. And then him and I actually studied abroad in Italy the summer after my junior year in college. And as part of our class, we were taking an art history class. We went to the Holy See. We went to St. Peter's Basilica and got to do the Scavi tour underground. And so as we're underneath St. Peter's Basilica, we go up right till the, you know, to the spot where St. Peter's bones are, you know, buried. We learned about the, you know, the efforts in the 1940s to excavate and test them. And, you know, when they were able to prove that, you know, what science can tell us, yes, this was a person of such and such age from such and such time period from this part of the world. And then of course, you know, tradition fills in the rest. And so I'm underneath St. Peter's Basilica next to the bones of St. Peter. And I just have this realization that, okay, well, you know, in scripture, our Lord built the church on Peter. You know, here's Peter's bones. You know, on the wall as we're walking in is a plaque that lists, you know, all the popes from St. Peter up through, you know, at the time, Pope Benedict the 16th Ratzinger. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, we've got St. Peter's bones here, this list of popes since then, and then upstairs is his current successor. And so, you know, if I want to be in Jesus's church that he started, it has to be the church built on Peter, and that's this church. And so I realized then I had to convert. I didn't necessarily want to yet at that point, and wasn't thrilled. It was like, but I knew that it's what I needed to do. And so the following Easter, I was received into the church at the Easter Vigil and received confirmation in my first communion. And so, you know, the rest is history. My roommate that went, he became my sponsor too.
Oh, that's really cool. And what I love about your story is, like, coming from a Protestant tradition and where your mom was a youth minister, it's like you knew the scriptures. Like, you were able to, while you were in St. Peter's, recall the scripture of Jesus, you know, founding the church upon Peter. And then it combined with the tradition of the church. You mentioned that in your story. So it's like what the, you know, Protestants do well is knowing their scriptures and diving into their scriptures. And that was combined for you with your experience of the great tradition of the church, being in St. Peter's, seeing the Pope, seeing the list of popes all the way back, seeing the bones of St. Peter. So it's really neat that the church is built on scripture and tradition. And that's essentially the two things that brought you into the church.
Right. And it all felt very factual. That was the thing, is it was like, okay, it felt weird. And I didn't feel great about having to go tell my parents, hey, I'm going to convert. And, you know, we're not going to be the same, you know, we're not going to be on Sunday in the same spot anymore. You know, I mean, it didn't feel great at first, but the facts were in front of me. And, you know, once I knew it, I had to respond. And so, it's pretty neat. And so of course I took St. Peter as my confirmation saint, since,
course,
you know, he kind of hooked that up for me. And so, yeah, it's been very cool, since then. And, you know, I always have to thank God for kind of laying it out to me that big, because I maybe would have never listened had it not, you know, been put right in front of me and, you know, very clearly laid out, you know, do this, here's all the reasons why, don't mess this up, sort of thing.
So who scheduled this trip? Who made you want to go to Rome?
Actually my roommate mentioned it. He was the one that kind of found the program of we go to Italy and travel around. So we started in Rome and then we got to see all these different places. So my sort of secondary favorite saint is Saint Catherine of Siena, because our first stop after Rome was Siena. And I, you know, you hear all about her and I'm like, wow, like, man, the early Christian, I mean, I guess she was what, 12th century, 13th century, but, you know, for hundreds of years, these people have, you know, given everything to this. So
so
yeah,
essentially, no, he tricked you. He was like, yeah, let's go on a trip to Italy. It'll be great.
Basically, yeah, that must have been his plan all along.
Well, he wins. So tell the people what Porky is up to these days.
So these days, so people are always really happy to hear that as a former child actor that I didn't grow up and become like a junkie.
Congratulations.
then they kind of like, once they find out I'm an accountant, I'm a CPA. So I do freelance work for small businesses and individuals, you know, with their taxes, finances, you know, that kind of stuff. And then my main gig is I'm a senior accountant at American Airlines here in Dallas.
That's awesome.
So that's kind of my day job, night job thing. And then, of course, you mentioned I do the Roman Circus podcast with Matt, my co-host slash producer slash the brains of the operation slash my great friend. And then I spend a disproportionate amount of my time on the Twitters, on the website. So. Yeah,
we have to get into that because you were famous for being Porky in the movie. Now you're famous. You have Catholic Twitter fame. So for those of you who don't know what Catholic Twitter is, it's just Twitter and Catholics talking to each other. And it's like this exclusive club that you have to like, I don't know. Tommy Ty has to say you're in it or something. I don't know the rules. I've asked him. Nobody seems to know, but it's a lot of fun. You know, like the Catholic podcasting group is pretty close to each other. And then it's just fun having conversations. So the question I have to ask you right now is I'm slowly starting to be accepted into Catholic Twitter. My phone is currently blowing up and has been for the last couple of hours. I'm in this thread with, you know, most of these people from Catholic Twitter, and we are arguing about the thing that you think most Catholics would argue about. Of course, this discussion is all revolved around the correct toppings for pizza. So my phone's been blowing up with all these Catholics about toppings for pizza. So I have to ask you to weigh in because I think you carry a lot of weight in Catholic Twitter. What are the correct toppings for pizza? What's your favorite two or three?
So everybody listening to this who has ever eaten pizza with me could answer this for me. That there's only one topping for pizza, and that is pepperoni.
Okay.
And everybody is very aware of my preference for pepperoni pizza. None of the I'll try other toppings, and like they're fine. Like green peppers are good. I mean like garlic, but really. I mean,
my producer's laughing at you.
Just put more pepperoni.
So I'm totally down with that. Okay. So here's the deal. There are a lot.
Nothing sweet though. No pineapple.
Oh, no, no. You should have stopped talking. I'm a pineapple guy.
All right.
But you and I can disagree.
I forgive you
on the pineapple thing. But here's the deal. I'm totally down with pepperoni. I love pepperoni. It's a weird like priest thing. Like all the priests on Catholic Twitter, like Father Goyo and Carmelite Nick, they're all saying like anchovies and sardines, and we're arguing about how Jesus, you know, like I'm not going to go as far to say that Jesus made a mistake when he made anchovies, sardines, and cockroaches and mosquitoes. But it is something I'm going to have to ask him about when I get to heaven because I just don't understand. But his ways are higher than my ways. So, hey, Zach, we're going to take a break, but we're going to come right back. We're going to play a game with you, a couple of games, just to get to know you a little bit more and have some fun, primarily just because I want to beat Porky at a game on my own radio show. Guys, we will be right back for our final segment of the day with Zachary Mabry sticking around. Hey, it's Taylor. Aren't you glad I'm not using voice modulation between these two segments? You're welcome, friends. Hey, I just wanted to stop and take a moment to tell you to go visit the website for all your Forte Catholic needs, FORTECatholic.com. You can find old podcast episodes. You can find info on my music, on my speaking. You can find booking information. I'm getting a lot of exciting new events lined up here in 2018 and even in 2019. If you want me to come out to your parish or diocesan event or school, I would love to. Go check it out, FORTECatholic.com, and enjoy the rest of the show. Forte Catholic. We are back now with Porky from the Little Rascals. We're gonna play a game now. It's gonna be fun. Oh yeah. So Sam just starts she gets tired of me singing and she just you know, pulls the music down just a little bit. So for those of you who are just joining us, we are joined by Zachary Mabry at Zach, ZACMABRY, on Twitter of Catholic Twitter fame. He was Porky and the Little Rascals. And my childhood dream is to talk to him, and I'm finally doing that. And my adult dream is to beat him at a game. So we're going to try for that. Zach, are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I don't think you're ready for this, Jelly. So the first game that we're going to play is an argumentative game. Are you an argumentative kind of guy?
I mean, some people say I am, but I'm clearly not. But it's fine. I'm just kidding.
Okay, they're probably
right. Let's argue.
What's true is what people, most of the time, what's more true is what people say about you than what you think about yourself. So sometimes it's not true, but watch out what you think about what other people are saying. The more you know, life lessons from Taylor for the day. So what you and I are going to do, have you ever heard of the Great Debates podcast by any chance?
I have not.
How dare you? I'm just kidding. I'm just getting into the argumentative state. So essentially what they do is it's two guys from, I think, Harvard and Yale, and they're debate guys, and they're debating things as a moderator. They get a couple minutes to debate things, and then the moderator decides who won the debate. So that's essentially what you and I are going to do. We're going to have categories like the greatest of all time, the GOAT of... No, Sam.
I don't have the sound because we're going through.
Yeah, I don't need you to do that.
Well, you know, I tried.
Okay. So again, just in the argumentative state, I'm just warming up. So the greatest of all time, like basketball players, sci-fi movies. There's a plethora of categories. Sam, you're going to be our moderator. You cannot take any of your bias into this game.
Well, you should have been nicer about my goat noise.
No bias. Not whatsoever. Not about the topic and not about me. I know you love the Little Rascals and you love Porky. You might pick him to win everything. But we'll see how this goes. So, Zach, do you understand how the game is going to work?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. So she is going to present us the question. If you and I agree, we'll just high five through Skype and then move on to the next one. If you and I disagree, we will each get a few seconds to make our argument, and then Sam, the moderator, will make a decision and give someone a point.
Yes.
And then we will crown a winner at the end of the game. Sound fair?
Sounds fair.
All right.
Wait, but Sam, does Sam work for you or with you?
Yes. At the radio station, okay. She works with me. At work, she works for me.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, you were the cute child star. I keep her employed. So we'll see how this goes.
It's true.
It's very fair, I think, in both of them. So Sam, hit us with the first one.
All right, the first category is basketball. So we've got Michael Jordan or LeBron James.
All right, Zach, where you at?
Michael Jordan, of course.
Of course. See, I think it's a lot closer. I love Jordan. You and I, we already talked earlier, are 3 months apart in age. So we're in the same, literally the same generation. But I was born in a different decade, actually, ironically enough. I was born in October of 89 and you were January of 90. Did I see that right?
That's right. That's good creeping.
Yeah, I'm a creeper. I study all my guests. So 3 months apart, but different decades. It's kind of crazy. I don't know, man. LeBron can do a lot of things that nobody else has ever done. By the end of his career, he's gonna be the single leader in points, rebounds, assists. Yeah, you've got the argument of, yeah, Jordan went 6-0 in the finals, but he only made 6 finals, and LeBron's not done yet, and he's already made more than that.
Right, but who rescued the Looney Tunes from the Monstars?
Oh, that is so true.
It is true. It's very true. That's fake world, hashtag fake news from Zachary Mabry.
And guess what? Zach gets the point.
Oh, gosh.
Monstars were pretty scary, but Michael Jordan...
All right, run the clock.
ran it and did a great job.
Essentially what LeBron James did in the playoffs this year was carry a team like the Looney Tunes to a victory over the Monstars. All right, he ended up losing, but he got a lot of wins that he shouldn't have had. All right, next one. I'm bitter.
All right. Boxer, Muhammad Ali or Joe Louis?
I don't know who Joe Louis is. I'm going Muhammad Ali.
I'll say Muhammad Ali as well.
All right,
good.
Moving on.
So I don't know who that other person is.
We agreed. High five.
Woo. All right, sci-fi movie. Star Wars or Star Trek?
All right, Zach.
Is it track or trek?
Trek.
Trek. Star Trek.
Right, of course Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, there's no argument there. Okay, yeah, moving on.
Despite this current drama plaguing the Star Wars thing.
Oh, Zach, see, we did this earlier about the pizza thing. We agree, and then we move on. You say something, and I'm just like, no, Last Jedi was amazing. Let's argue that one. I love the
Solo.
Oh, okay, Solo. I haven't seen Solo.
But But I think Solo, I think it's going to be good because it tanked at the box office and my friends that saw it said it was just horrible. But it's going to make them get back on their game with what comes next. You know, they're not going to get cocky because this one flopped. So,
well, I don't know if you saw the news yesterday and they announced that they're not going to do, they're backing off and stopping all their other projects that aren't the numbered Star Wars movie. They're not doing any of the other Star Wars stories.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's
crazy.
I'm glad.
Yeah, crazy.
They must have checked Reddit to get that suggestion.
All right, Sam, next one.
Football. We have Joe Montana or Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. It's not even close anymore, Zach. We talked about this. I know what you're going to say. Do it.
I'm going to say Joe Montana, of course. Yeah.
Why?
Why? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's older and wiser. I think. I don't know.
Sam, give me the dang point. That's the worst argument I've ever heard in my life.
I haven't even heard your argument, Taylor.
Tom Brady has won more Super Bowls, gone to more Super Bowls. He is he's 41 years old and still playing better than, like, his last season at 40 was better than any single season that Joe Montana ever had. Greatest coach and quarterback combo. Like, no one's even having...
Yeah, Deflategate, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. Do whatever you need to win. I mean, it's not even a question. Nobody's even having this conversation anymore. They had the GOAT conversation between Joe Montana and Tom Brady 4 years ago. Tom Brady has played so well in the last 4 years, won multiple Super Bowls. Nobody's even arguing it anymore.
Yeah. I think it's because when in school we had to learn our states and capitals, they would say Joe Montana and his wife, Helena, even though he was at no point married to any woman named Helen.
No one's ever heard that.
That is a valid point.
Have you heard that, Sam?
I haven't.
I know you haven't because we played a game last week about how you've never heard any sayings. I haven't even heard that saying.
All right, Taylor, you get the point.
Of course I get the point. I'm right.
That's fair.
That's fair. Oh. Baseball, Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron?
What'd you say, Zach?
Babe Ruth, of course.
Yeah, the great Bambino from the Sandlot, the only movie that rivals the one you were in.
It's got some name on it, Baby Ruth.
Babe Ruth. I love that movie. That's a good one.
And Darth Vader and Mufasa is in it, so that's fantastic. Good old James Earl Jones.
All right, actor Tom Hanks or Robert De Niro
or Zachary Mabry.
Okay, that's not a choice, but okay.
Let's do it. Those are the three choices. I'm calling an audible.
Zach? This one is so hard because, I mean, of course, we love Bob De Niro. It's like I call him Uncle Bob. I'm just kidding. Of course, I do not know Robert De Niro. I'm going to go with Tom Hanks. I was stuck in an airport terminal recently, so I really identify with Tom Hanks now because of the movie The Terminal.
It's true.
Dude, that guy has been in so many movies where a plane is the issue. It's ridiculous. the one where he's on an island, the one where he crashes, where he lands the plane that's crashing.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, everything is involved with planes.
He had that boat movie once.
He wasn't in Snakes on a Plane, though. That was the other guy.
Nope. There we go.
Or Airplane 1 or Airplane 2.
Or Soul Plane. He wasn't in Soul Plane either. I think I have to go Robert De Niro. I really liked, what was the most recent movie he was in where he played, I think it's called The Intern, where he was the old guy that came to help.
Yeah.
That movie was really good. I think it's more of a, they both have had great careers. But I think I'm going to go Robert De Niro.
Do I get to choose now?
Yep.
It's totally Tom Hanks.
Okay. I think you didn't listen to any of the arguments. I think you brought your bias into this.
Well, Tom Hanks is the better one, so.
Life is like a box of
chocolates. What's the score, Sam?
You have 2 points. Taylor has 1 point.
So I have 200% of the points that Taylor has.
If I lose, we're scrapping this segment, and I'm going to do a different third segment.
You're like, listen to this game, and it gets edited and posted. And it's like, oh, I lost.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is soccer, and I don't know how to say that name. Pele?
Let's go with Pele.
Pele, there we go. That sounds better. And Ronaldo?
I'm not old enough to know what a Pele is. I know that he is a soccer player and was good. I'm going with Ronaldo because I've seen him play, but I'm not a biggest soccer fan, so I could be wrong on this.
I'm going to agree with Ronaldo because his name, of course, he's named after our holy faith. But soccer is also not my thing.
Wait, who's he named after?
Cristiano. He's named after, like, Christianity, oh, right? Isn't I was that
like,
that is?
I was like, Saint Ronald? I've never heard of a Saint Ronald. Ronald McDonald? I don't know what you're talking about. Cristiano. I see what you're saying now. Okay.
Okay, so let's move on to painter. Picasso or Van Gogh?
Zach, you're more cultured than I. You go first.
So I'm going to say Van Gogh. While I find post-impressionism to be boring, I do think that he has some really good ones. And I've been to the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam, and it was great. So, yeah, I'll say Van Gogh.
I know nothing about painting, but I know Van Gogh doesn't have an ear. And that reminds me of the guy that Peter cut the guy's ear off. So I'm going to go with Picasso because he had both of his ears.
How do you choose that? Do you choose a person with two ears and be biased against the guy that doesn't have one ear? Or do you choose the guy that has one ear and you're biased against the guy that has two ears?
You do it like I just did it and just make a decision.
Anyway.
Okay, Starry Night, though.
Oh, I love a Starry Night. Van Gogh. Okay.
He only had one ear.
But I do like a Starry Night.
He shouldn't win anything.
I'm just saying.
Have you ever done the thing with Starry Night where you look at like the spinning lines or whatever, and then you look at the picture and it's moving, the painting is moving?
I've never seen that.
No, it's really cool.
It is cool.
All right.
I had a friend that recreated Starry Night on Snapchat, like with the little painting function.
Really?
Sent it out and it was brilliant. No, yeah, I'm serious. She's in Tulsa. Hopefully she listens.
Just did it on Snapchat. It put all that work into it and it disappeared after 24 hours.
She probably
That's
saved
true.
It, right? You don't think she saved it?
Hopefully. Hopefully she saved it. I'll write in to the show if I find out she saved it.
Okay, it's really important.
So it's 3-1?
Yeah. It's 3-1.
I'm about to be eliminated from the playoffs like LeBron was.
LeBron James.
All right, tennis is Serena Williams or Roger, how do you say his last name?
Federer. All right, go ahead, dude.
Okay, so Serena Williams is very talented and very fun to watch. I'm going to go with Serena. If you match them up, I don't know who would win. Oh, actually, I do know who would win. I don't think it'd be Serena, but I'm going to go with Serena.
Yeah, so I think Serena might be like have a better overall career. I think I have to agree. Federer, I don't watch tennis, but when Federer plays, I'll watch tennis. But I think I have to agree with you and go Serena. Sadly, I have to agree with the guy beating me.
All right, here we go. This is really important. Solo artist, Michael Jackson or Prince?
Oh, this one's easy for me. I'm not a Prince fan whatsoever. Rest in peace to both of them. But it's absolutely Michael Jackson. Woo!
Amazing. Was that your answer, Zach?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, King of Pop.
I used to drive by Prince's house all the time when he was alive. When I lived in Chanhassen, I would drive by his house. I drove by the day that he died.
Was it you?
Oh, wow. I mean, crazy talented and obviously an icon, but, you know.
It was crazy.
I've never understood him, and I've never understood the Beatles.
Well, you
don't
know.
At me.
Oh, yeah, the Beatles. Well, I don't want anyone to come to my house and attack me, so I won't say what I think of the Beatles, but.
I think you just gave your answer. Moving on.
All right. Rock band. Metallica or AC/DC?
I'm going to go with AC/DC.
I am too. Metallica annoys me.
Okay. Action movie. A Dark Knight or The Dark Knight? The Godfather.
Dark Knight might be my favorite movie of all time. Heath Ledger literally gave his life for that part. I got to go Dark Knight.
I'm going to go with The Godfather. We're saying part one, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, it doesn't say, but yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going for The Godfather.
Just changing the categories. He could try to win another point to take another lead.
No, that's a point for Taylor.
Oh, yeah. Dark Knight's amazing. Heath Ledger literally gave his life. It's like when Jesus gave his life to save our sins. He gave his life to make one of the greatest movies of all time.
That's all about right, I guess.
It's 3-2.
This is the point.
This is it. I think we're done. We're about out of time. Zach, we have to crown you the winner, sadly. But congratulations, sir.
Thank you. This win, I want to dedicate this to all the listeners out there. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all of you.
That's not true. They didn't book you. I did.
And, you know, to those of you at home, one day you could be on the Catholic Forte show and you could win the game round. I'm telling you, if you just have excellent opinions like me. Just kidding.
Yeah, we're definitely scrapping this segment. Zach, thanks so much for coming on despite this.
Thank you for having me.
This terrible last 30 seconds of you just making me grovel. Guys, go check him out. Go listen to the Roman Circus podcast. Go follow him at Zach, ZACMABRY on Twitter. It's been a lot of fun, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was great, and I'll catch you on the Twitters.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. This has been so much fun. I cannot believe that I just interviewed Porky from the Little Rascals. We had a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed today's show. As always, please subscribe to the show, like it, and leave a rating. We will be back next week. See ya!
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.